for their own selfish gain. But Paul's making himself clear to them, saying, listen, we do not use any deception, nor do we distort the gospel. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth, plainly we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves. See, I love Paul. He says, I don't preach myself. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. That is our message. That is the message of the church, Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as His servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Amen. See, we operate in the power of God. What we have is God. Amen. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Amen. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be also revealed in our body. For we are alive. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to Himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, Paul says this again. He starts the chapter by saying, we do not lose heart. And then he tries to conclude it again in verse 16. He says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. You see, the theme of this reading can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, which we just read. And also in verse 16, where Paul concludes and he says, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. See, looking at this context, it's very clear, isn't it? Paul's going through some tough situation, and he's having to deal with some tough discouragement in his life. Because he's preaching the gospel, and because he's preaching the gospel, there are also others in that area who are polluting the gospel. And preaching the gospel that was no gospel at all. And because these people were using the word of God for their own selfish gain, there was slight confusion in that church and in that context. And therefore, Paul's having to present himself with this confession, saying, listen, I did not come to you with this polluted gospel, but I came to you with the truth. And this is the truth, Jesus is Lord. Amen. This is the truth, Jesus died for you. This is the truth, Jesus loves you. Amen. You see? And in Paul's situation, what I love the most is, I mean, he went through some tough trials, didn't he? And in spite of everything that he went through, he did not lose heart. And because he did not lose heart, he was able to write to the church and encourage the church, saying, do not lose heart. Because he's been through it himself, now he's in that position of actually encouraging the church, saying, listen, I know what's it like. I've been there. Therefore, do not lose heart. So what was it that kept him from falling? What was it that kept him from fainting in the conflicts of life? Simple. He knew what he possessed in Jesus Christ. He knew who he was in the Lord. You see, instead of complaining about what he did not have, Paul rejoiced in what he did have. You see, Paul did not complain saying, "I haven't got this. Oh, I haven't got that." Paul said to the Lord, "I've thorn in my flesh. You know, there's lots of pain that I carry. There's lots of scars that I carry in my body, but I don't complain about any of that. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards the goal." Amen. Pressing on towards the goal. You see, he did not allow them little slight hiccups distract him from the goal that was set before him. He knew he was called. He knew there was a greater purpose in his life. He knew what the Lord set him free from. You see, we look at Acts chapter 9 and we see Paul. He was a murderer. He was out there persecuting believers. He was out there protecting the culture of the time. You see, and when he had that revelation of who Jesus was, that shook his world, that shook his life. So much so that it changed his whole identity. He no longer related himself to the culture of the time, but he now found his identity, who he always was in Jesus. Amen. And he was called to proclaim the gospel. He knew that he was a new creation. That's what he was able to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "I am a new creation." Yes. See, because he's been on the dark side, and now he's come out to the light, and he experienced the dark side and the light, and he was able to say, "Listen, therefore if anybody is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." Amen. The old is gone, the new has come. See, Paul did not complain about his situation, but he praised God wherever he was. Paul and Silas, they were locked up in prison. They did not once complain why they were locked up in prison. You see, they could have said, "Lord, we were serving you. Lord, we were proclaiming the truth. But what happened about the protection?" There goes the protection prayer. You see, God allowed it in their life. And it was all for his glory. God allowed it, so that in the end, all the glory would go to him. Amen. See, they were both in prison, Paul and Silas. But the shackles did not stop them from praising God. Prison doors did not stop them from praising God. So in spite of whatever was happening around them, the joy inside them, nobody was able to stop that joy. See, what happens inside of you, nobody can stop that. No. They can try to stop you from what you do on the outside. They can try to stop you from praising God. They can try to stop you from reading the word. They can try to stop you from coming to church. But no one can stop you from praising God.
Amen.
No one can stop you from giving thanks to the Lord. See, what all the praises happens on the inside. See, what we do on the outside is the overflow of what's happening on the inside. See, Paul, he knew that joy. And because he knew that joy, he was able to praise the Lord in spite of whatever the circumstances, in spite of whatever the situation. You see, Paul had learned how to be content.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. Paul had learned how to be content. You see, we have to learn to practice gratefulness.
Yeah.
We have to. See, I know what I've been saved from.
Yeah.
I know what my life was like before I met Jesus. And I know what my life's like after I have this relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
You know? And even in your life as well, I'm sure you know what your life was like before you met Jesus. And who's glad this afternoon that they met Jesus?
Amen.
Who's glad this afternoon that they know Jesus? Amen? Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. We have to learn to practice gratefulness. See, don't let them little things distract you. Don't let them little things put that fire off. See, you have a purpose in your life, and we need to learn to practice gratefulness. Don't rush the process. See, this is a process. For the Israelites coming out of Egypt, it was an event. But taking Egypt out of them, it was a process. See, they came out of Egypt, But the Egypt mentality was still in them. See, and for some of us, we've now crossed onto the other side, but we're still carrying loads of old mentality with us, loads of old baggage in us. And it's a process. Don't beat yourself up. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a process. And that's why we're here together, amen? That's why we're here as a church, as one body, progressing together in the things of God and for the things of God. It's a process. See, in verse 1, Paul writes, therefore, seeing we have this kind of ministry. See, Paul says this kind of ministry. What is this kind of ministry? The answer is found in the previous chapter, which you can read in your own personal time, chapter 3. Okay, but just a quick slight introduction to that. In chapter 3, Paul talks about a new covenant ministry. New glory ministry. In other words, Paul's saying, you know, we have this ministry in Jesus Christ. A glorious ministry that brings men life. That brings men salvation. That brings men righteousness. A ministry that is able to transform lives. And we too are called into this ministry. But you might say, oh, I don't feel like God's calling me into ministry. But I'm going to say this afternoon. Each and every one of us, we're all called into ministry. We're all called into His army. We're all called into His great commission. You see, this glorious ministry of reaching out, this glorious ministry of building the kingdom and restoring the lost and the broken. You know, there are many principles that we can draw out of this chapter. But as I was preparing this message, there's four things that I'd like to share this afternoon. Four simple things from this chapter that I'd like to share this afternoon. First one is, we've just read it. Paul talks about the kind of ministry that he was called into, okay? And the first truth is this. See, it wasn't Paul's ability that helped him not to lose heart. See, Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. It wasn't Paul's ability that made him able not to lose heart, but it was the Lord. It was the Lord. See, it was the Lord's grace and mercy that kept him from losing heart. Which brings me to my first point. See, grace and mercy of God enables and pushes us to press on. Let me say that again. Grace and mercy of God enables us. You see, the grace of God enables us to press on. It helps us to stay focused. It enables us to press on. But not only that, but sometimes when we don't have the energy or the strength to move forward, the grace and mercy of God pushes us to move forward. Amen? It pushes us to move forward. You see, Paul confessed to the Corinthians that his trials in Asia had almost brought him to despair. This can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. If you want the reference, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. And in spite of his great gifts and vast experience, Paul was still human. See, he was still human. In spite of all the giftings that he had, in spite of all the vast experiences he had, he was still human and he was still subject to the human condition. You see, however, with the divine calling came the divine enabling. In other words, he knew that God would see him through all his trials. He knew that God would help him to press on. He knew that God would give him the strength to face every giant. Give him the strength to go through every valley. Even though he knew that he did not have the fight in him, he knew that God was with him. And for him, that was more than enough. Yeah. Amen? For him, that was more than enough. He knew that God can and will keep him from falling and will give him the strength to press on. You see, his focus was not on the sufferings or the trials, no. His focus was on the goal that was set before him. His focus was on the reward that was set before him. He was a man with God's vision. He was a man with God's vision. You see, his vision, he didn't have his vision of his own. All that vision he had was from God and of God. You see, when he had that radical encounter with Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, he knew, like I said earlier on, he knew that he was saved for more. There was a reason for why he was saved. There was a reason for why he encountered Jesus that day. And there is a reason for why you are sat here this afternoon. You are not sat here just to attend the church.
No.
You are not sat here just to sing hymns.
No.
You are not sat here just to enjoy a few hours of church and go back home. No. There's a greater purpose in your life.
Amen.
See, God can use you mightily for His kingdom. But before He uses you for His kingdom, He wants to refresh you for His kingdom. He wants to renew you for His kingdom. He wants to cleanse you for His kingdom, which we looked at last week. And in that process of cleansing, there are going to be some revealing. And when things get revealed, it's painful. When things get revealed, we become vulnerable. Because all the pain that we were carrying in us for all these years is all out. And because it's all out and revealed, it's painful. But we need to understand that in this process, we're not on our own. We're not on our own. Each and every one of us, we all have our flaws. Nobody's perfect. See, we are imperfect people worshipping a perfect God. We are imperfect community progressing towards becoming a perfect community for the kingdom of God. Amen. We are here to change things. We are here to change the culture. We are here to change the atmosphere. We're not just here to just meet every Sunday. No, we're here to take ground. Amen. See, the Israelites, they were called to take ground. So are we. We are called to take ground.
Amen.
He was a man of God's vision. You see, my second point is this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5, we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5. See, Paul's passion for the gospel kept him from being a self-promoter.
Amen.
Paul's passion for the gospel kept him from being a self-promoter. See, our aim and goal should always be to glorify God.
Amen.
See, the Judaizers in that time, the leaders of that time, they enjoyed promoting themselves. The Pharisees of the time, the Sadducees of that time, they loved receiving praises of people. You see, and they were controlling the people of the time. But when Jesus came, and when Jesus taught them that it is for freedom Christ has set you free, when Jesus started proclaiming the gospel that emphasized the freedom more than submitting to the law, the leaders of the time did not like it because they thought, hold on a second, like something's not right here. This man is now wanting to change our culture. And when someone enters a community and tries to change that community, a lot of people are going to resist. You know? And the same thing happened in this time. When Jesus made his way into that community, and when Jesus said, listen, this is, let me show you how it's done. And when Jesus was teaching the people, blessed are those who weep, blessed are those who moan, blessed are those who are poor, for theirs is the kingdom. All the leaders are going, what sort of teaching is this? Where is he getting all these teachings from? They thought, like, this isn't right, you know? And because of that, there was a big confusion. Because of that, there was a big clash in that area. The culture protectors of the time did not like the culture. And so it is with our nation at the moment. See, we have a new culture.
Amen.
In our nation.
Yeah.
We have God's culture and we have the world's culture. The culture of the world will tell you, listen, it's alright to do whatever makes you happy. Because at the end of the day, it's your life. YOLO, you only live once. So do whatever pleases you. That's the culture of the world. You see, the culture of the world tells you, listen, no one can stop you. No one can tell you what you can and what you can't do. It's all right to rebel. The culture of the world will tell you, listen, you have this vast world and you don't have to believe in God. You're fine, like, you're fine as you are, and don't give in to them religious folks. I mean, they'll brainwash you. That's the culture of the world. You see, but the culture of Jesus is this. If someone hurts you, it's your responsibility to forgive them. See, the culture of the world is this. If someone mistreats you, you still treat them the right way. See, the culture of Jesus is this. If someone slaps you in your right cheek, give them the left cheek also. But the culture of the world is this. If someone slaps you, slap them back. If someone punches you, punch them back. No wonder we've got so much chaos in the world. No wonder we've got so much violence in the world. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. See, that's the culture of the world. And it was happening in that time. And Jesus said, listen, the kingdom of God is here. Jesus said, forgive our sins. When Jesus was teaching them the Lord's Prayer, his disciples, forgive our sins as we forgive those who hurt us, who sinned against us. See, bitterness can ruin a lot of things inside us. Envy, jealousy, these sort of things will eat us. But the Lord wants us to deal with those things. What sort of hurt are you carrying this afternoon? What sort of pain are you walking with? See, we wear masks. We wear different masks. Happy mask. Just to cover off all the sadness that we carry. We wear a joyful mask. Just to hide all the sorrows that's deep beneath our hearts. See, God wants to do that deep operation in each and every one of his hearts. He wants to. See, he wants to heal you.
Amen.
He does. He understands where you are. He knows all the pain that you carry. And he wants you to know that you can fight it. He wants you to know, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. You might be thinking, oh, I've tried all these years. It does not work. The message of the Lord for you this afternoon is this. Do not lose heart.
Amen.
Do not quit. Do not quit. Do not quit. Amen. Do not quit. Thirdly, all power comes from God. And our responsibility is that we remain in him. All power comes from God, and our responsibility is that we remain in him. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Verse 7 and verse 9 says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? See, three things we need to remember. This is a tough one, but God permits trials. God permits trials. The account we read in the book of Daniel. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. If God would have wanted to, he could have stopped from that incident taking place. But God allowed it. God permitted it. See, so that shows God permits trials. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were thrown in the fiery furnace. God let it happen. Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. God allowed it to happen. The persecution in the church, Book of Acts, God allowed it to happen. God permits trials. Second thing we need to understand. God controls trials. Amen?
Amen.
God permits trials, but God also controls trials. You see, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, Lions did not harm him.
Amen.
Because God was in control. When Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, Fire didn't burn them because God was in control. When Joseph was sold into slavery and when Joseph was accused of rape in Potiphar's household, and when God raised him up as second in command, God was in control.
Amen.
God was in control. And thirdly, we need to understand God uses trials for His glory.
Amen.
You see, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and when Daniel came out victorious, Daniel, what did he say? My Lord protected me. It was my Lord who was with me. It was my Lord who kept me safe. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, when they were in that fiery furnace, who did they give glory to? They did not say it was us. No, they said it was God. God was in control. God protected us. That's why this fire did not burn us, because God was with us. Joseph, when he was elevated in that position, he gave praise to God. He said, it is God who has elevated me. It is God who has brought me to this place. You see, Lazarus, he was dead for 4 days. If Jesus would have wanted, you know, he could have just said a word where he was when he first heard the news of Lazarus dying. But he did not do anything. He let it happen. He permitted it. He let it happen. But at the same time, we need to understand, when God allows trials, God is in control. God is in control because He's doing something in our lives. Because He's maturing us. Because He's increasing our faith. Because He wants us to grow in our faith. That's why God permits all these trials in our lives. And God controls trials. And so that when we come out strong on the other end, all the glory will go to Him alone. Amen. All the glory will go to Him alone. It is God who deserves all the praise. It is God who deserves all the glory. He allows it to happen, but at the same time, He is in control. He is in control. What sort of struggle are you going through this afternoon? Financial struggle? Sometimes God allows you to go through it because He wants to increase your faith. What are you struggling with this afternoon? A healing issue? Sometimes God allows you to go through it so that your faith will be increased to that level where the healing becomes part of you. The healing just becomes part of you. Amen. See, it's all part of the process. It's all part of the process. Because God is with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. If God is for us. See, which brings me to my final point. Paul was sure that his trials were working for him and not against him. Okay, verse 16 to verse 18 says this. Therefore we do not lose heart. Again, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. And Paul says this because he's talking about the flesh. You know, he's not wasting away, but he's just emphasizing the flesh, saying, I've got scars in my body, I've got loads of pain in my body, and though outwardly I might be wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day, amen? Inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. See, we are achieving this eternal glory that outweighs all the things that we see on the outside.
Amen.
So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Amen.
My final point. Do not lose heart.
Right.
Let me emphasize it again. Do not lose heart. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. Amen. Do not lose heart, because what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. We do not lose heart. This was Paul's testimony. I did not lose heart. Paul said it. I did not lose heart. I was shipwrecked, but I did not lose heart because God was with me. This is Paul's testimony. I was bit by a venomous snake, but I did not lose heart because God was with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28, it says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often, This is Paul's testimony. Visiting prison cells was like visiting his house. He's like in and out of prison all the time. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. This is Paul's testimony. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil. This is Paul. I mean, listen to his heart here. In weariness, Paul felt weary. He was tired. In weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness, often. Paul did not sleep for many nights. This is what the scripture says. In sleeplessness, often, in hunger and thirst, Paul did not eat. Because he was so passionate for gospel, he was ready to face anything. In fasting, often, in cold and nakedness. This is Paul saying what he's been through. And then he was able to say, I did not lose heart. Amen. In spite of all this, I did not lose heart. You see, the enemy wanted Paul down. But he actually gave him the extra push to do more for Jesus. See, the enemy wanted to stop the gospel. But the persecution actually helped spread the gospel. See, the enemy wanted you down and depressed this afternoon. But the Spirit of God enabled you, but the strength of God gave you the strength to come here this afternoon. We have made this far. We have made it this far because we did not lose heart. Because we did not lose heart. You have made it this far because you did not lose heart. There were days where you threw your towel down. But there was other day where you picked it back up again and you carried on the journey. And because of that, you're here this afternoon. And I want to say to each and every one of you, well done. Well done. There were days where you was ready to pack in and quit. But you carried on. There were days where you were ready to say, I've had enough. I'm not going to journey this journey anymore. But you did not quit. And because of that, you're here this afternoon. And because you're here this afternoon, you need to hear this message. Do not lose heart, because God has got more for you in store. Amen. God has got more for you in store. Let me read this to you. This was a song, a worship song, and this is one of my favorite worship songs. And I want to read some of the lines to you. And this is what he says. The song is called Mercy by Elevation Worship. And the song goes like this. I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. You know, like when I read this, I picture Paul saying, I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. And I picture myself, I'm a living proof of what mercy and mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. You know, my life was a mess. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. You turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. And the chorus goes, now I'm alive to tell the story of how I overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. See, each and every one of us, we're alive to tell the story of how we've overcome. Amen. Of how we've overcome. See, Paul's telling all these churches his testimony of how he overcame. See, all the letters that we read is actually the testimony of Paul telling the churches, this is how I've overcome, and you can do the same. All the gospels that we read is testimonies of how they overcame. See, you received your healing because you did not lose heart. Your prayers were answered because you did not lose heart. You're standing strong this afternoon because you did not lose heart. four things. Grace and mercy of God enables us to press on. Always remember that. Grace and mercy of God enables us to press on. When you feel like, oh, I've got no strength left in me, remember this. Grace and mercy of God is there for you. Amen. He is there for you. Second thing, our main aim should be always to glorify God. When you come out of the valley, when you come out the other end, and when you're standing strong, always remember to give Him praise. Always remember to give Him praise. Don't let pride take over your life. Always, always give Him praise. Third thing, remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody. God is with you. God is for you. And lastly, do not lose heart. Because what you're going through right now, what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. God will turn it for good. To finish, let me read this scripture found in John chapter 16, verse 33 again. John 16, 33. I have told you these things. I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. See, there's the principle there. We have to remain in Him. Jesus saying these words, in me you may have peace. He says, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus knew. And nothing's changed. It's still the same. In this world we will have trouble. But listen to the words of Jesus. But take heart. Amen. Take heart. Oh, how I love this verse. It comforts me. It just gives me strength. You know, it just encourages me so much when I'm so weary and when I'm so tired, when I'm so low, when I'm so down. And can I just say this? We're allowed bad days. Amen. But we're not allowed to stay there. We're allowed bad days, but we're not allowed to stay there. We have to rise up. Amen. And in those days, I always go to this scripture, and this scripture always encourages me and stirs me. I can almost hear Jesus speak these words to me. Take heart. Daniel, take heart. Ian, take heart. Beth, take heart. Ava, take heart. Joan, take heart. Amen. Louise, take heart. My brother, take heart. Amen. Take heart. Church, take heart. Because Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. Jesus has overcome the world. Take heart. Do not quit. Do not give up. Because He is more than enough. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen. Take heart. Do not quit. Don't quit. Don't look back. Don't go back. Press on. Take heart. Because He has overcome the world. And because He has overcome the world, we have. And today we are alive to tell this story of how we have overcome. It's the goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. Amen. Power of His blood. Amen. Take heart, church. Let's take heart. Amen. Let's keep pressing on. Let's keep moving forward. Great things are happening. We're already seeing and witnessing great things take place. And there is more in store for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. Why don't we all just stand? We're going to pray now. Jesus. Jesus. Let's just lift up our hands to heaven right now. Let's just receive that strength from the Lord. David says in Psalms, my help comes from the Lord. Jesus said to His disciples, take heart, I have overcome the world. Paul said to the church in Corinth, do not lose heart. And that is the message for us this afternoon too. Do not lose heart. Well done. You've made it this far. But there is more. There is more. And right now I just feel Lord wants to refresh us. He wants to renew us. And I want to give you this opportunity from where you are. If you're grateful this afternoon, why don't you just lift up your voice and just give Him thanks. Just give Him thanks for all that He's done.